Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bull to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million, if I had
Hello and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tim O. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SB Futures up again today. We're celebrating something here the last 2 days, or we're coming back from last week's fiasco and the downside. SB Futures up 41, Dow Futures up 437.
As if it's all the election, Chief.
It's the election. It's something. We're not sure. Not sure what it is, Brennan. It's something. Well, how do we, what was last week then?
Preparation for the election. It's
remember the
report.
Remember the only reason I remember it because what the hell, Rachel Ward was in it and she was smoking hot. Remember the thing with thorn birds?
Oh yeah.
When the they had the
with
huge
Richard Chamberlain.
They had the huge fire. And then all of a sudden the rain came and Richard Chamberlain said, God sent the rain, and she said, who the hell sent the fire?
That's pretty much true.
Yeah, so, okay, God sent the 2 days yesterday and today. Who sent last week?
Well, God did. It was all preparation so that you could make more money.
Ah, well, nothing wrong there. Hey, all kinds of stuff in the news here today, and, by the way, the I can only mail out, well, they were talking about on our intro where they asked the guy, you know, they gave me this test to see what I would like to do, and I didn't know what I wanted to do type of thing. I was often wondering what guys like you and Lou and our attorney buddies would pass on those kind of tests.
I don't know. I haven't taken one.
My roommate in college took one of those things. He was a guy who, he's a character, he got to Notre Dame, and they had him projected as like a 375, which was really, really high back in the day. And he was bumping along, getting B's and C's, so they made him take this test. And there's like 10 things that you know, basically just like Maddie's intro, a garbage man or whether you're going to be a double knot spy, as Jeffro would say. And the average was like a 10. So you're supposed to be like a 3 on one thing. I don't want to be a garbage man, or I want to be an astronaut, that type of thing. He was straight 10s all the way across. Which is like, the guy gave him the test and nobody's ever done that. That's impossible. No, nobody has no care whatsoever whether they become an astronaut or a garbage man. Nobody
does that. You
mentioned
007.
Yeah.
You mentioned 007. The poor guy's gone.
Yeah. A double knot spine.
Yeah.
You know what? There'll never be another one like him. He was just different.
I agree. But, you know, when you're talking about all the stuff that's going on, the ups and downs in the market, you know things are weird when you've got three White Sox and two Cubs who are in contention for awards right now. You know, Ross and Darvish are in the National League running for finalists for Manager of the Year and Cy Young. And on the White Sox, they have Abreu for MVP, Luis Robert for Rookie of the Year, and Ricky Renteria as Manager of the Year. How about that if he gets that after he's been fired?
You know what? That would be spectacular.
Wouldn't it? I'm rooting for him just for that reason. I was not really a big Ricky fan, but I'm more of a Ricky fan than I am a Tony La Russa fan.
I'm a guy that thinks that if you design your team around more than really, you know, I don't know, Matt, it's a question for Matty. I don't know that any team, since I don't know as many, has done as well at picking people out of, let's say, the Caribbean and Venezuela and has a better group of young, actually seemingly very likable, Dominican Republic and other and Cuban players is the Sox. And they went and
I
got
agree.
A manager that matched, essentially matched that right off the gate. And
yep.
This whole idea of, you know, this guy can pull a pitcher when the other guy can't, it's such a bunch of crap. I see these guys make, quote, mistakes or great moves every day, and they're all just, they're not just a toss-up, but they're just a, you know, I'll put in a pinch hitter. He gets a hit, I'm a genius. If he doesn't, I'm not. I mean, you make the proper move or what you think is the proper move, and you hope for the best. So, I mean, I don't, you know, the when you think of the greatest victory America ever had in naval warfare was the Battle of Midway, and it was a move
mm-hmm.
that everybody said, when they said
when that
send
happened,
the torpedo guys in without the other people, totally screwed up the Japanese, cost us every torpedo bomber we had, everybody's life, and yet it was a genius move. And looking back at it, everybody thought that was the dumbest thing anybody ever did. You know, so, mm-hmm. I mean, you never sort of, but I just thought he matched the team. I mean, or was I wrong with that?
Well, I think he matched the team as far as their personality and as far as getting the best out of the players. And I think he really related to the team, especially the young Cuban and Latin American players. I don't think he was a baseball genius by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, some of the things he did were just completely stupid. And I hear your point that you often don't know whether it's a genius move or a dumb move, except in retrospect. But you know that, you know, sometimes there's a rationale for doing something, and I just don't think he had much of a rationale of how to manage a game or how to put players in good positions to win.
Well, I think the best managers, especially in the day of Mr. Stats, Mr. Weber, these guys follow the book pretty much all the time, and then once in a while they don't, and they're right. Then the guy's a genius, right?
Well, no, look at what happened in the last game of the World Series. Did you see the game between the Rays and the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Game
six? When he pulled a pitcher, you know.
When he pulled Blake Snell, that was the dumbest move. Anybody in Tampa Bay who was a Tampa Ray fan had to just be livid at that. I mean, the guy has a one hit. He's a recently removed Cy Young Award winner. He was rolling. He was striking guys out like crazy. And then you pull him? I mean, that was like the move that Joe Maddon pulled in the World Series in 2016 when he pulled Hendricks.
Well, I'm sure somewhere, someplace, you're going to find a piece of paper, or shall we say a computer screen, that says the people's batting average the third time through the lineup is
higher. I know that argument.
Somebody
I know
somewhere.
That argument.
And the idea is that you pull a guy before he gives up the winning home run, not after. But basically, and I'm not against all the stats stuff. I mean, I'd like to have the information in front of me if I was a manager. Don't say I wouldn't. But simple fact is, to me, it's degenerated now into every time somebody gives up a hit, you change a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a stat sheet for that. You need a 4-year-old for that, right?
Yeah, but you also need 40 pitchers a game.
Well, and you need the game to be 4 hours, which is a big problem with me.
So I have a question. I have a question for you guys, Chief.
I have some stats here. And, speaking of stats, I have some stats. Maddie will be so proud of me. I have stats about presidents and stocks. But before we do that, I don't know if I've ever asked you. Since 1900, there's only been 4 presidents that have had the market go down during one of their 4-year terms. Can you name them?
Hoover.
Ding, ding, ding.
Nixon.
Ding, ding, ding.
Carter.
What about W? Did one of his go down?
Roosevelt.
Roosevelt. Ding, ding, ding.
What about
and W?
Yeah, W, yeah.
WM.
And W. 3 Republicans and a Democrat, which doesn't really make any difference. Anyway, let me see who wrote this article. Here's a guy that dug into the Congress part. This is Mackenzie Sagalos, whatever the hell that is, young lady, and she...
We call him Mac.
Yeah, I think it's this is Mac, like in, what's her name, Catherine Bell Jag. This is a female
okay,
Mac.
Well, we call her Mac.
Yeah, she's a Mackenzie, that's her name. I don't think I've ever met a Mackenzie. I don't know if that's
Mackenzie
name is
Phillips. Mackenzie Philip meet her. Is an actress.
Well, unfortunately, I never met her. Unfortunately, the same. Anyway, it says here, 22 years we've had a democratic. I'm not going to read this whole thing because they dug this up. Unified government. Democrat president and Congress. We've had 22 years of those. This is since 1945. The average S&P was up 9.8%. Republican president and Congress. 8 years of that, we've had 12.9%. Democratic president, Republican Congress. We've had 10 years of that, 13%. Actually, the lowest on the list is Republican president, Democratic Congress. 22 years of that, 4.9%. That's probably all Ike years. Do we have Democratic Congresses under Ike?
I don't think so. I think, well, we may.
I don't think so either.
That was. Yeah, I don't think so.
We've had 22 years of Republican presidents and Democratic Congress, both Congresses?
Hmm. Well, remember, they're in two-year increments. They're not 4 years.
Right. Democratic president, House and Senate split between parties. There's only been 4 years of that. That's really surprised. Mm-hmm. That had the highest return, really. 13.6%. That had to be like the Clinton years, would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then a split Congress, a Republican president, House and Senate split between parties. And 10 years of that, and that's 5.2%. That's the second lowest. So the two lowest are unified Congress and split Congress. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I don't think that tells you anything, Mr. Stat. You two guys that are Mr. Stat, just saying.
I don't think that tells us anything either.
I agree. Hey,
no.
Chief, we have a question for you guys on that topic. Natachi writes in, serious question for Chief and Brendan. What percentage of your clients, Chief, would gladly accept a right-wing dictatorship if it meant a 30% increase in their asset values?
Natachi, let's hope. I don't know if you are one of my clients. I hope you are one of these days. I'm going to say none. My guys are pretty good.
I disagree with that. I think that there'll be a lot of people who would be willing to go for an autocracy if it meant returns. I'm basing that on some of the interviews that I've seen on the TV reports as to why people are supporting Trump right now. And it doesn't matter what he does or what type of personality he has. He's been good for their market, and they think he's going to be good for the economy. That's all that counts for their vote. So I think to answer his question, Natasha, I think to answer your question, I think there's a high percentage of people who would do that, would give up their civil rights and go for an autocracy in order to get a big return like that.
He has a follow-up to that. He says, and my follow-up question, Chief, what percentage of your weekly guests on the show would accept it, even without the...
I'm going to say absolutely none there, because the right-wingers on the show are seriously into... personal freedoms, more so than money. I don't think our two most conservative guys are Lou and Kevin, and I'm going to say neither one of them would make that trade.
I agree. I think you're right. I think they're both.
I agree with that too. And
level-headed
I'm grateful
dudes.
For that.
I'm going to say the most insidious thing on the dictatorship part has to do more with the safety thing than it is money. I don't think my biggest clients would believe that, the part that one group is that much better than the other, because the stats don't show it. I mean, Trump may say it, but the stats don't show it. I mean, what we just say, there's the three Republican presidents that had down markets and one Democrat. It hasn't made that much difference in 200 years. So I would hope my people are smart enough to not say, oh, by the way, if Republicans get in, the market's going to go up any other way. It just isn't true. So I don't think, I mean, I think...
But that's the perception. That's the perception that the Republican leadership is better for the economy and caused the stock market to rise.
I think I'll go this way on the Republican part. Although I haven't seen it in my business. I've seen a relentless... I'm going to expand on Natachi's question here. What I've seen across both lines, both party lines, is a relentless move towards this crony capitalism in a fascist economic system, mm-hmm. where you've got where you've got a few businesses in each industry that basically with their nose up the ass of government. That's what I see. And I think a guy like Trump, if he didn't trip all over himself, actually saw that. I'm going to say something nice about Trump. A guy like Trump saw that more than any of these other idiots do. The relentless pull towards that, because he is shady, but he is a businessman to a certain extent, and everybody knows whatever that means. He understands how screwed up government was, because he was one of the guys paying off for a while. Right? And I think we better not lose that. That's one serious problem I have with Joe Biden. He's never been on the other side. He doesn't realize, or Kamala Harris, don't even get me started there, never been on the other side. They don't realize, like we do, and the listeners to the show, how people relentlessly pay off these people to get advantage. They don't understand that a Joe Biden has no idea where that's coming from. But that doesn't make me a Trump supporter, because he's got a million other warts that I can't deal with. But the fact is, he probably understands better than any president of the last 20 years of the insidious relationship between the big business and government. The people in government think it's all okay.
He's already admitted that.
What?
He's admitted that. I mean, he's admitted even before he was elected the first time that he knows how the government works, because he has so many people in his pocket that he paid off to get what he wanted.
I'm saying that's in government, to me right now, that's a strength. That doesn't mean don't get me wrong, I'm not voting for the guy. But I'm saying that, do you think Joe Biden had a clue? You think Clinton had a clue? You think George Bush had a clue? I mean, come on. I mean, these guys have no. Matter of fact, my next article here, I'm loaded up here this morning.
You must have some time on your hands right now.
I sort of do, actually. This is a guy named Ari, A-R-I, Levy. And he's talking about, now this is all part and parcel. And I think, as Natachi knows, he doesn't always agree with me, the theme of the show, if there is one, is everything matters, everything affects everything else. Okay, and I think a lot of what is wrong in this country is because people think they do just one thing, and you can never do just one thing. And people don't do what Milton Friedman made me do, or the rest of the people, is when you do something, you've got to, every test was, okay, here's the policy, give me all the ramifications of that policy. You got to think things through. Not that I do all the time, and not that I'm that capable, but at least I look toward it. Okay, I'm going to fence in my yard. Now, what does that mean? Okay, it's going to keep my dog in. It's going to keep something else out. It's going to do 50 different things. It's not just going to do the one thing I want to do, right, Brendan?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
and there's always those unintended consequences of the actions.
Right. And so here's an article about, now, you know, and I've reserved me rant, and I don't know, I want your opinion, Brendan. One of the weaknesses and one of the reasons why I would like to see some sort of a mini-constitutional convention is it bothers the living bleep out of me that people in states they don't belong in. I guess the Senate races, you know, I can maybe roll with that a little bit, but I don't really want some bleep from down the block from me trying to influence the election in South Carolina representative. I think it's their business. I really do. I know, and it might make me old and grumpy, but it's not like you can't contribute a little bit or something if you just in general want to give, you know, $500 to every Republican or every Democrat, you know, knock yourself out. But I mean, when the lion's share of the money is coming from outside the district, you know what, that stinks to me. Anyway, here's tech executives. Now, I just talked about this crony capitalism and these companies have been allowed to get way too big. Well, there should be here's the title of a book for you, Brendan. And all you got to do is write the book. And our buddy Eric will tell you how hard that is to do. The title of the book is, I'm stealing this from somebody, is While Congress Slept.
Or While Congress Argued. How did you know what I'm writing?
What?
How did you know what I'm writing?
Yeah, well, which would be better, While Congress Slept or While Congress Argued? Because they're not really sleeping. They're just acting like a bunch of four-year-olds. But here's an article regarding tech executives rich from an 11-year bull market that's disproportionately benefited their industry, ding, 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 were among the top political donors in the 2020 cycle. The vast majority of that money went to getting Donald Trump out of office and helping Democrats control the Senate. Asana CEO Dustin Moskovitz, who made his fortune as a Facebook co-founder, spent $24 million. One friggin' guy. And I'm sure none of it was in his district. Twilio CEO Jeff Jossen and his wife Erica, is she a looker? I don't know, never mind. Donated about $7 million. Along with former Google CEO Eric Schmidt, who donated $6 million, are some of the leading contributors to Future Forward USA, a super PAC behind Joe Biden's presidential effort. Now, the last thing I need is these guys, essentially, while Congress slept or argued, getting these companies that have this incredible disproportionate influence in the economy, now taking their money and influence elections outside mm-hmm. of their state and their district. To me, I got a problem with that, Brennan. Now tell me why I'm wrong.
Oh, I don't think you're wrong. I think that is a problem, but I think this also goes back to Citizens United, and I think it goes back to the to lack of campaign finance laws, the McCain-Feingold Act, which limited a lot of contributions, which is no longer around. I think those are two big issues that would alleviate the problem that you're talking about. But it's remarkable when you think about the amount of money that is being raised. I mean, even going back to the 2018 election, the amount of money that was flooded into Texas to support Beto O'Rourke against Ted Cruz. And now you look at some of the races in South Carolina with Jamie Harris versus Lindsey Graham.
Yep.
Saying just one example. And most of that money is coming from outside the state. However, yeah, otherwise, I think the corollary to what you're talking about, though, is that whoever has money gets to run and win. We've had two examples of that here in Illinois with Pritzker and Rauner, both self-funding a lot of their campaign with the money they have. And look where that got us, one Republican, one Democrat. So, you know, this is an issue that's been coming around for a long time, and we're seeing it on steroids right now.
Okay, back up a little bit. I'm aware that most people point to the Citizens United decision, but it was just as bad before the decision. I mean,
no, it wasn't, because corporations couldn't contribute that much money. Corporations and Citizens United were deemed to be persons who could contribute money to PACs a lot more, with a lot fewer restrictions. That was the key to that case.
All right, but I mean, how much can an individual contribute to a PAC, whatever they want?
If it's a non-affiliated PAC, I don't think there's any limits at all. I think the limits of $2,800 per cycle is for individuals or for PACs that support directly an individual, like a Trump PAC or a Biden PAC.
All right, well, but I don't want to get into this too deep because we're running out of time, but it appears to me that the Democrats zero in on this PAC stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they use, and that the Republicans use the 503C corps or something?
No, I think both of them use PACs. Both of them are using super PACs right now. I think
the Republicans still use the other ones because they were bitching about the IRS not approving them.
I think you're confusing that with another issue that that was raised in the Obama era. When Obama was president, that some of the groups were using their money illegally because they're either 501c3 or another 501c entity that was using money for political purposes. I think that's...
No, I'm talking about the group right that... Now. Remember the huge fight that the Republicans were saying the IRS was not approving these... They were supposed to be charitable corporations.
Right.
But they,
mm-hmm.
And charitable
corporations cannot use money for political purposes.
Well, that's the whole point. They were, mm-hmm. and they're supposed to be there for another purpose, but they weren't. And they were mm-hmm. saying that the IRS was, this was a huge fight when Trump got in.
Mm-hmm.
His biggest fight with the IRS was that they weren't approving the Republican, whatever these things were, fast enough so they could get involved in the election. And so
mm-hmm.
At that point, the Republicans, for whatever reason, saw that as the way to go to get money into the system. And the Democrats, with Judge George Soros was one of the first ones, went the PAC route. Now you're saying everybody's on the PAC route.
I'm pretty sure everybody's on the PAC route, both sides.
Right, because that's somewhat of a change. Maybe because the IRS was slow enough on the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so... But I will... I don't disagree, you know, more about it than I do, that particular Supreme Court thing was a clunker. But money always found its way in anyway, right?
It really did. I agree.
Because I can remember companies, you know, when I was on the floor, you hear stories from people from Goldman or Morgan Stanley where they'd say their chairman wants everybody to, all the top, you know, 500 people in the place to give $5,000 to the, mm-hmm. the Goldman pack, and they just use that.
Well, here's a question for you, Chief. Here's a question for you. When you're looking, and I'll take one example right now, of Pritzker and Ken Griffin here, both of whom have plowed over $50 million or $55 million into the question for the constitutional amendment on the income tax. Why wouldn't they spend that amount of money as a donation to the state to reduce the deficit?
Because they're idiots?
Or they're seeing a better benefit for themselves. And
well, you know who's again on the other side of that, which with big money? It's Pritzker's sister.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What do you, Manny, what do you think that Thanksgiving dinner is going to look like?
It's like it's no different than the Ricketts. It's no different than the Ricketts. The sister is much different politically than.
Yeah, that's going to be a really interesting Thanksgiving dinner. Even though, good thing they're socially distant for the Ricketts.
Yeah.
Well, the one who's gay is the one who can't stand the old man's politics, right?
Well, she's having a hard time right now with Tom and the other brother, both of whom are really strong Trump supporters, and you know, that's a question for Matt. I think Manny's input on this too. What do you think that's going to mean for Cubs fans over the next year or two?
I don't know. I mean, I've been able to compartmentalize my hatred of the Ricketts family and my love of the Cubs. And the fact that I think that they've completely ruined Wrigleyville and you know, but that said, have improved the ballpark and then put a winning product on the team for the last 6 years. So I can sort of take the good with the bad and I can separate it. But yeah, I have no love lost there.
Yeah, well,
you've been around the Chief a lot too long to make that kind of a statement.
Well, the Tampa Bay managers have a great team, and they didn't do that to Tampa Bay. They didn't need every little thing they could get.
I agree. I agree.
And the Oakland Athletics have gone through similar transformations where they, you know, the whole Moneyball concept.
Well, I mean, you look at what's going on, I mean, in the city. I mean, there's no difference in what the Ricketts did and what these guys are doing over here with this, you know, the whole idea, the area where, what's the name of the thing? The new development over in the
Lincoln
Yards. River there? Yeah,
Lincoln,
I mean,
we
essentially took an area that was zoned totally for industrial, and maybe that time has passed, but there's people that own that stuff all along the way. And all this, there's people along the way that said, boy, I could choose a condo building here, and they were told no, under no uncertain terms. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, one guy pays it off. Now, I know, in the one hand, that's, quote, progress, but progress shouldn't be stuffing enough people's pockets for enough years to where they turn it around just for you.
Well, it's also called timing. It's also called timing. I mean, look at the development of Fulton Market just west of Halstead, the old fish and produce market.
Yep.
That was the same thing. Or the old produce market on Water Street, South Water Street. That whole area was developed for the State of Illinois buildings, not the Thompson Center, but the State of Illinois buildings that are in East Wacker. It was the same thing. Those, you know, it was a time when they were zoned for commercial products for the produce section or for the meatpacking industry, and now they're all being developed for individuals and tech companies like Google, which feeds right into your earlier point, Chief.
Except it doesn't, we'll talk about this next week because we got a dash, Brendan, but it's not, I still think that if you and I owned a place in Camden Yards, not Camden Yards, whatever it is, I don't think we got the zoning variance. I think we have to sell it to these other guys so they could get it,
mm-hmm.
which I think pretty much sucks. I mean, it didn't get everybody
in
the spot there.
But we'll be, as the sellers of that property, we'll get the benefit since they'll pay us for the rights
as an architect, because I had this argument with one of my architect buddies, as an attorney and as an architect, you're going to say we're going to get the benefit of it. And I'm going to say we're going to get some percentage of the benefit of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody else gets all of it. Anyway, Brendan, thank you very much. Good stuff. We'll talk more about, obviously, who won. Maybe We might have to do this later in the week about the Who Won stuff, but...
Let me know.
Well, do you think we'll be able to do Who Won tomorrow?
No, we won't. Pennsylvania won't even start counting a lot of their ballots until tomorrow.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you, if we talk about it tomorrow, it's a landslide victory for Biden.
All right, maybe we'll have you sneak in for a second. SBQ's up 40, be right back, Mr. Brennan. No, not Brennan, we'll have Joel O'Connor.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm familiar with Mr. Miller on the board. S&P futures up 41, just like yesterday. Like yesterday morning, for God's sake. Same spot. Dow futures up 422. NASDAQ futures up 75. So we're celebrating 2 days into the election. So far, I don't know if that means the market thinks it's going to actually be over. We'll know from Jeff later whether or not it'll be over or not, because he's on the betting side of this thing. DAX up 209, 1.7%. FTSE up 112. That's a full 2%. CAC around up 94. That's 2% as well. So Europe is celebrating something with us here. We're not sure what. Nikkei up 318, 1.4%. Shanghai up 45, 1.4%. Hang Seng up 479. That's a full 2%. So we're as bullish across the board as we've seen it, really. And we haven't had all six of them up in a real long time. Yesterday, talking about mirror image, Dow Jones up 423, S&P futures up 41, NASDAQ futures up 46. So it seems to be the number so far this week. A bond's 0.87 as they keep sneaking up. Will 1% be far away? One minus 0.62, that cannot move, though. It will not creep up at all, even though Japan is now positive 0.04. We've got oil up 127, but still 38.04. It's still pretty low. Matter of fact, oil in the last 5 years, the market's up like 120%, and oil's down 3%, the oil stocks. So they're still horrible. Brent up 122, 40.19. Natural gas down 7 cents, 3.17. RBOB up 2 cents, 107. And last but not least, gold up $9, creeping above 1900, 1901. Silver up 33 cents. Full 1.4%, 24.36. Silver has been very violent within a range, which is where we're going to break out of this range. A copper 309, Medi Air Force, Traffic Weather Sports.
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a great start, Chief, on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. In fact, there's nothing to speak of. No delays, no accidents, no stalls, no bad road construction, nothing. So enjoy a nice, quiet Tuesday morning. if you're heading into downtown today. Weather today, it's going to start our pleasant stretch here, about 5 or 6 days in a row of great weather on paper anyway. Sunshine today with a high of 65, which will feel great on November 3rd, Election Day. Right now it's clear and 41, going up to a high of 65. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 92 today. Right now it's clear and 66. In sports, Monday Night Football last night, it was actually a good one. Most people thought Tampa Bay was going to run away from the Giants, but the Giants kept it close, but came up just short as Tom Brady and the Bucks hang on to beat the New York Giants 25-23. Chief, are you there?
I'm here, Matty Ice.
I hear you, Joe.
Well, I'm here. You kind of flashed on and off, but I am here.
All right. Joe,
how are you, buddy?
I'm doing okay, Chief. I'm doing okay. I guess you want to talk about the debacle on Saturday first, right?
I was going to say, are you on the short list for the new coach?
I should be, because I would have done the most basic elementary defensive for play or formation and went to a zone defense. If you're getting beat like that and you can't handle one-on-one, I don't know if it was a pride issue or they don't know what the hell they're doing. But you put a safety over the top and then, you know, let them try and beat you underneath. Let them try and beat you with some screens or something. But a lot of horrible calls by Harbaugh. I just don't know what to say. You know, I was very tepid on them the first game. I told you to take the points in Minnesota. And then, you know, they fooled me. So, I don't know. Milton looked okay. Tough game on the road in Indiana. For your punters out there, I cannot believe that Michigan is favored in that game. But you better turn it around and turn it around fast. That was a bad, bad loss. Very upsetting. But I guess in the whole scheme of things, you know, a lot of other things going on a little bit more important. Right, Chief?
Well, yeah, I just somewhat curious as coaches, you know, come in and out of favor. I mean, nobody did a better job than Harbaugh at Stanford.
Yep.
And I said nobody did a better job than that guy at Stanford. And then he went to the pros, which few people have been able to do. I mean, Saban couldn't do it, Holtz couldn't do it, all these legendary coaches couldn't go from college to pro. Yet he did seamlessly and had a tremendous team for years at San Francisco. And now he lands back over at Michigan and can't get out of his own way. Now, does that mean he all of a sudden doesn't know an X and an O, or does it mean that there's differences in recruiting? I mean, he finally got to hire his own assistants and he hired a bunch of schlumps. I mean, something's weird, isn't it? I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the guy, but there's no question of his resume and his talent level.
Yeah, what's scary is we sent 10 guys to the NFL last year. You know, so the talent's there. A couple of first-round draft choices at center. I mean, the talent is there. I don't know if it's – I don't know, Chief. I just don't know. And the scary thing is if, you know, they get rid of Harbaugh, I mean, who's going to want to come and coach in Michigan? I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's a tough situation. And we just got to, you know, beat Indiana.
It's a horrible situation. Well, not horrible, but it's an odd situation. In so many leagues, I mean, you look at the Clemson and you look at the Alabamas. Well, there aren't very many of those, but there's people. There's these other teams that for a year or two, you know, can be pretty good, but there's a team at the top. Obviously, Ohio State's doing something totally different than everybody else. I mean, even though other guys get some people that are pretty good, Ohio State's talent level is just different, and so is Alabama. And now, what those coaches are doing, who they're paying, how they're getting away with it, you know, I don't know. But there obviously is a difference. It appears to be, because at least other schools, even like a Notre Dame, can get there for a year or so, and then they have a year like 2 or 3 years ago. And Kevin would know better than me, so I shouldn't even say anything. But all of a sudden, instead of, you know, four seniors or five going to the pros, you end up with four or five juniors going to the pros. So now you got nine people that have left, and the team is, like, decimated for a year or two. That happened to LSU. These other teams that play things, I'll say, a little straighter, can't come back from that. Yet Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and maybe sometimes Georgia seem to be able to lose 15 guys a year, and it doesn't bother them. It's like they got a taxi squad somewhere at a junior college, and that they just have depth upon depth. And how they do it, I honestly don't know. I can accuse them of stuff. I can say they found a way to, but somehow or other, there's a difference.
There certainly is, Chief, and the disparity is there. And just going back to Michigan, I mean, they've had problems in that defensive backfield. That's how Ohio State's dominated us. Mel Tucker, he figured it out. He figured it out early. So could be a long season, but the markets are very buoyant today. We're up big again. I don't know what that's indicating for the election. A huge turnout, which I'm glad to see. I want a united country, and I hope whoever wins the election that this country, comes together. They, tackle, whatever things confront us. But a really important day, Chief, and I really don't know what to say about the market being up like this. It's puzzling. It really is.
Well, I don't see any of these people having the talent. I'm not even talking about just the president stuff, but any of the people, the senators running, I don't see any of these people having the talent, the ability, the depth of knowledge of all levels to, at some point, even not tomorrow, make a change here. I don't really care if it's the president, but if all of a sudden we got a new speaker or a new, even if the Republicans hold on to the Senate, you get a new majority leader where somebody says, this guy or this lady, even though the president, whoever lands there, has issues, shall we say, that somehow or other there's a younger person. And I'm not talking about you got to be 25, because I don't think that's the right idea either. But somebody somewhere where we've basically been stumbling, in my opinion, we've been stumbling around between the president, the Speaker of the House, the Senate Majority Minority Leader. We have four people that everybody thinks, what are these people doing anywhere near the top of a government? In my opinion.
Yeah.
So whether or not Biden wins or Trump wins, I'd like to see one person out of the four at least be somebody that says, where do we get that guy or that lady? There's somebody special. And I don't see that anywhere, do you?
No. And you think, like, either side, could
yeah, I don't care who it is at this point. I don't care if it's the Green Party. I mean, somebody says, well, we could put up with 4 years of this president, whoever it is, because look at this guy or this lady who's the new Speaker of the House or the new head of the Senate. They seem to have their bleep together, and they can actually talk without insulting somebody for 30 seconds and seem to know something. I don't see anybody on the bench anywhere, do you?
I hallelujah, man. I couldn't agree with you more, Chief, but we'll get through this, and should be an interesting couple days. I doubt we're going to have an outcome tonight, but who knows? Good voter participation, that means that, the country is, cares about the government, and I think of anything we can take away from this is that there's more political awareness amongst our citizens, and that's something that is encouraging.
Well, our citizens better, instead of just becoming it's the thing to do and then having the big fest on a Sunday afternoon and go down and vote and doing something because they tell you to do it on Facebook, you got to get involved in the process. Voting for these people on Election Day is nice. I'm going to head down to the voting place today, but I also know it's useless on my part. I mean, I do care, obviously, I do the show and everything and get people in and try and educate, but if I really dug my nose into it, I'd care who was on that piece of paper, not just to go down and vote for it. I do care, but I don't have the time and money to deal with it. I mean, that's where earlier in the show when I'm talking about these bozo head of these companies, these monopoly companies, giving $24 million to these various races. That's where the rubber's hitting the road, Joel. It's not you and me walking down and voting on the people who don't know who the hell they are. Just saying. Anyway, Joel, we gotta head off to
get
Kenny here. Go blue, buddy.
Fired up, man. Be healthy.
Right.
Get fired up. Let's start and talk next week. Go blue.
Yes, go blue. Manny, want to write to Kenny?
That was about Michigan. That was not a political statement.
Yes.
Throw it to break.
Anyway, right to Kenny?
No, throw it to break.
Okay, we'll go right to break. Be right back, Mr. Kenny Polcari.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now.
Look at them yo-yos, that's the way you do it. You play the guitar on MTV. That ain't working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks are free. Well, that ain't working, that's the way you do it. Let me tell you.
I'm up. We got one on the board. Hello, World Bank, Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Ali, Mr. Mayor Weber on the board. SP Futures up 41 and a quarter, just like yesterday here. This is crazy. Deja vu all over again, as Yogi might say. Dow Futures up 418, NASDAQ Futures up 78. Kenny, how are you? Do we have Kenny?
Kenny dropped. We're getting him right back on.
All right. So, you know, when you talk about the MTV, remember when you used to be able to actually watch the yo-yos on the MTV doing dances with good-looking ladies and stuff? I think the world would go downhill when you couldn't even do that anymore.
I agree. Kenny's there? Back.
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
We're just talking about the world took a turn down when you couldn't watch the good-looking girls on MTV like 20 years ago. So what are we celebrating? What are you market guys celebrating today and yesterday?
Well, listen, I think there's a couple of things going on. Number one, I think there was a technical bounce because I think the market was in a little bit of an oversold position after going into the weekend and into yesterday. But I also think the market is trying to tell you it thinks it's going to be a definitive decision, which is kind of interesting considering everyone I talk to, and if you look at the polls, they it's calling for a very close race, which means it'll be a contested decision, right? Because if it's close on either side, the other side's going to contest it. So I'm not really sure why the market is acting the way it is, unless it really thinks the polls are completely wrong and that there's going to be a landslide one way or the other. And if there is, that will be a good thing no matter which side wins, because it'll be definitive and we'll know it, and there won't be a contest, and it won't drag out, and it will be over the way that most people want it to be. So, I'm kind of on the edge here a little bit because it's going to be interesting to see how the day goes, right? Because I do think that's what the market's telling us.
Yeah, I don't know. With the amount of money flying back in the market from the Fed and everything else, it's really hard to tell on any given day whether the market's really telling us anything or whether somebody's poured money into the system. I mean,
Unfortunately, I agree, but I agree, but between yesterday at 450 plus points and this morning's futures looking up another 450 plus points, there's 1,000 points that we'll take right back as long as it stays here. And like I said, if you listen to kind of, I've been watching the news since early this morning. You saw what Dixville, New Hampshire did, Dixville Notch, right? The very first county in the country to post. It was a landslide victory for Biden. All five votes voted for Biden. So I don't know if that's indicative, but you know, it's also interesting. I had a conversation with a UK client this morning who said to me, hey mate, he said, listen, the view from over here is that it's going to be a Trump win, because when it gets really anxious and divisive like that, people tend to vote more conservative than not. He said, and so matter what the polls say, we're assuming, we meaning in the UK, a bunch of them, you know, him and his, because I think it's going to be a landslide victory in favor of Trump, which is kind of an interesting point of view from somebody on outside of the country looking in, right?
One of my serious Republican guys told me that yesterday too. I don't know. I've been kind of dissecting where I thought if Trump could get back in, how he could get back in, and I just think he's lost a couple of spots. I mean, he's lost some of the soccer moms. He's lost a few areas. It doesn't mean he can't get back in, because the polls to me are totally useless.
No, it doesn't mean he can't. Yeah, it does. Get the other thing that's interesting that we've all been talking about lately is that, you know, it's hard to really understand whether the polls are right or wrong, because there have been a lot of people who either are afraid to say who they're going to vote for or just don't want to say who they're going to vote for truthfully. So they lie. They say, yeah, I'm going to vote for Trump. They're going to vote for Biden. Or they say, I'm going to vote for Biden, and they're really going to vote for Trump. And so it's interesting. You know, I was talking to somebody up in New Jersey who said that she refused to put a sign in her front yard because she's afraid of people going around, right, noticing who's a Trump supporter, who's a Biden supporter, because she's afraid of retaliation.
Well, I think what you find, Kenny was talking, not Kenny, Carl, you're Kenny. Carl was saying that in Florida, he was down there for a bit, and then he's in Tennessee. It's almost like if you're in a Biden area, you see all kinds of Biden signs, and you won't see a Trump sign. Yeah, for the Trump area, you see it the other way. It's like,
absolutely.
Nobody wants to go against the grain.
Funny. What's really funny is that I live in South Palm Beach County and I work in Broward County, and those three counties, all the way down to Miami-Dade, are forecast to go Biden, right? They're forecast to go blue. A lot of them are Northerners that have moved down here, Democrats that have moved out of the Northeast, that have moved to Florida, that are going to swing these three counties. Now, that doesn't mean the state. I think the state is still red, but these three counties are blue, and that's actually very true. When you see Biden, signs, you see all Biden signs.
Well,
and conversely, when you see the Trump signs,
you can go through the numbers, you know, and that's unfortunately my strength and weakness, but months and months ago, I mean, you and I talked, and we've, you know, talked to other people. Jeff obviously is all over this because he's involved in some of the betting and all the people running. They said 7% of the people, unlike any election from the past, only 7% of the people have essentially not made up their mind.
Yeah, I think everyone by now has made up their mind. Absolutely. So it comes down to
the areas. I mean, we're talking about a guy, you know, without getting into it, that lost by 3 million votes. All right, so he carried a few key states barely, and that's how he got in.
Yep.
Now, which means he did pretty well in the Electoral College. I mean, look at the actual vote totals that put him into that spot. They're not very high. Okay, so so you have to look at, and our producer, Mr. Weber, did the research on last election, and he basically said that the reason why Trump got in is like 6 or 7 million people who normally would vote in those, not normally, who voted in the Obama two elections in those states, did not come out. No, it's not probably the same people. Did not come out for Hillary. I wouldn't vote for Hillary if she was the only dog in the race. I just have an issue with the lady from day one when the trades got in her account that weren't hers. Which in our business, that doesn't happen, Kenny. So there's 6 million votes there that are essentially unaccounted for. Might come back, might not. Now, does Biden get the same sort of cachet that Obama did, especially with the minorities? No, but could he get a million of the six? Probably.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So then you have, as Trump's, has he worn out his welcome with some people reluctantly went with him in the first time. And I know a lot of...
Yes.
And I'm going to say I think there's some middle-aged ladies who I happen to know a lot of said and there's actually some Republican guys that are friends of the show and have been contributors in the past that said, hey, Chief, you know, he just went too far and I followed him this far, but that's it. You know, So I think he's lost a few, and I think Biden might pick up a few from what the didn't show up for the Obama. And that's the way I read it. Now, whether or not that all happens in the right states, I don't have a clue till tonight or tomorrow.
Right. But I do agree, because you hear that too, you know, when you talk to people who just said, you know, I hung on, but the most recent, it's probably been really the last 3 or 4 months, although we could argue it's been longer. It's gotten more divisive. It's gotten more ugly. And I think there are people that just said, you know what, enough is enough. This is not the America I want. Besides the fact, I got to tell you, and I said this yesterday too, and I said it today again in my notes, you know, social media has not helped. I mean, I don't remember having this problem, you know, 15 or 20 years ago before there was any social media. So Facebook and Twitter and other social media platforms, in my opinion, have only exacerbated the hate and the chaos that the country is seeing. And so you honestly have to sit back and question, you know, what have we done, right? What have we done to ourselves? What have we done to the nation? Because I do absolutely believe that's true. I don't think social media has helped this process, the democratic process, at all.
Kenny, as much as I will push back on our very conservative gentlemen, you know, Kevin and Lou and the rest, you know what? Kevin and Lou are not idiots. Kevin and Lou are very bright people. So I've been starting to read some of the stuff from the more liberal press. Kenny, there isn't an article there that is accurate. And I've read some from the conservative press. What is with these people? Didn't they go to journalism school?
Well,
I mean, there's massive facts left out of all these articles just to skewer one person or the other.
Well, but that's right.
You know, but the thing of it is, Kevin's right. Just say it's opinion. Don't tell me it's news. Don't pee in my shoes and tell me it's raining.
Right.
This is Kenny Polcari's opinion. And I got no problem with it.
Right.
Don't tell me that you're Walter Cronkite and then leave half the news out.
Right, correct. No, I agree. I absolutely agree. But you know, we can have that conversation too, because you know, somebody brought it up in a story last week about, you know, the left wing higher education system. What it's done, it's indoctrinated, you know, a whole generation of people to think left, completely left. And it's frustrating, certainly, right? Because that was never the way it was.
Well, but if you look at the last...
what's happened over the last 15 or 20 years, but...
Well, I mean, I don't think you know of somebody who's been positive for what he brings to the table in terms of an outside view of Trump than me, yet realized day one that the man's personality and intellect would screw himself up without anybody screwing him up. He'd do it himself.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I was right on that prediction. I don't even want to say it that much, but I'll tell you, Kenny, I have never seen anything like the last 3 or 4 months where I don't know if it's Pompeo, I don't know if it's Kirchner working at it. The advances that have been made in the Middle East in the last 4 months that nobody in this country has even been allowed to know about.
It's been hush-hush. No one's talking about
that. That to me is, I don't care if you're the most liberal person on earth, you've got to look at that and you say something's wrong there.
Right. So how come nobody calls it out? How come nobody does go to the mainstream media and say, what is it? Why are you not covering? These are major advancements in Middle East peace, and you've chosen to completely ignore it? Like, what is that?
I don't know. But I have to go with my AV, you know, lady who helps out the producers. She and her friends, being from Ukraine, every Thursday when I drive her in, she fills me in on the news in Europe. You don't hear any of it here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, once who's fighting? Who? The only reason why I knew the Armenians were fighting somebody is because she told me.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's a good source.
Our press is censoring themselves. Now, who's behind it? I don't know. Maybe is it Jeff Bezos owning the Washington Post? I don't know. It's probably not a good idea. It's coming from somewhere, Kenny.
Right. I'm not even sure that Twitter is new. Is the New York Post even back on Twitter? Or are they still blocked after that? After the whole Hunter Biden article that they censored and blocked and didn't allow.
The idea that those idiots come on going go in front of Congress. And then you've got guys, you know, to flip the other way, you got Ted Cruz, made an absolute idiot of himself on TV.
Right.
You can't just criticize people for what they're doing. It's up to Ted Cruz and his blithering idiots in the Senate to say, here's the law. You're either a newspaper or you're not. You don't whatever they do, just excoriate them on TV. I mean, why didn't Jeff Dorsey say, which is, I'm not a big fan of his, with that...
Jack Dorsey.
Just plain Jack. He should have said, you show me the law, Senator, you can't come up with one, you idiot. Are we a newspaper or are we this? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to take somebody's stuff and publish it under their name, not ours? Are we supposed to censor it? I mean, of all the people that are going to censor stuff, I'm not big on censorship at all. The last thing I want is Zuckerberg and Jack doing my censorship.
Of course. You don't want that.
Yeah.
You absolutely don't want that, but that's what's happening, right? That's what's happening.
Yeah, man.
What we think, what we read, what we hear, they're deciding.
Yeah, I don't get that. Kenny, we'll have all kinds of stuff to talk about next week. We might need you for a flash later in the week if this gets crazier. If there's no election results, we might need you for 5 minutes.
Tell Matt to send me a text.
All right, buddy, we can do that. All right, take care of yourself. Thanks. Have a good week. Trade them well. I'm Tom Howell. He's Mr. Miller. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
There's something.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Weber on the board. We have Mr. Jeff with us. Jeff, how are you?
I'm good, Tom. How are you, Chief?
I'm doing all right, except obviously you can see with me watching the clock, I don't do as good a job as Manny.
Not bad. Hey, we're still close. That's good.
Yeah, we're still. Hey, I have a question for you, not a question. Just letting you know how good our government doesn't work or works. Are you? I don't know if you guys got one of these or not. It's not my business to ask, but these PPP loans that everybody got, you know, basically hundreds of thousands of them were given out to people.
No, we're not a candidate for that type of we had access to a different type of assistance, but it wasn't necessary that we drew on it. So,
well, the I don't know how much research you have done on it, but obviously people were supposed to get these. You got these things. And if you use them for the proper reason, They were forgivable, correct?
Right. If you allocated 75% to your employees,
right.
If you maintained them for three to four months, I forget. But under certain scenarios, they were forgivable loans, yes.
Now, those were written that way by the Congress. That was the intent. That was everybody's understanding. I'm going to say, except for somebody's. Now, who do you think the somebody might be?
You tell me. I think you know.
Like maybe the IRS?
Oh. Are they taxing this as income?
Well, sort of. What they did was they wrote up regs, which has infuriated Congress on both sides, by the way, but they're not listening to anybody. So that's one of the reasons why people are so pissed off that the new plan has not come forward, because what the IRS said is, okay, if, say, Jeff Inc. were to get a $100,000 loan, you do exactly what you're supposed to do, and you spend 80% of it on salaries and the other 20 on rent or whatever, and the loan becomes forgivable. So you may say, I'm off the hook, right? But when the IRS writes up the regs, they say the salaries that you paid using those proceeds are not deductible.
Well, that instantly puts, you know, any business that operates on 15% or less margin, like restaurants, that instantly puts them out to pasture.
Well, it doesn't hurt you if you don't make any money, right? But if you're making money, you can't deduct it, which essentially says that even though the loan is forgivable, the money you spent for it isn't forgivable, so it becomes a taxable event.
Mm-hmm. Well, this period has been a washing out of those businesses that aren't making any money. Those are the ones who already shut their doors and didn't come back. They took the PPP and they, you know, paid some employees and paid down some debt and walked away from their business. So the impact will be felt on those that have low margin businesses that were, you know, hanging in there trying to get back to work. But I would imagine that's something that can be resolved through executive order, I would think. I'm not sure I know that.
Well, it
certain,
hasn't been. I mean, it's been part. Then the question is, if the thing doesn't get passed till next year and it gets fixed, does it fix retroactively, or do you owe the check this year and then get it back next year?
I'll start preparing for a Zoom audit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show you how we think this stuff, even at the very, that some of this stuff is supposed to work smoothly, and it's not. And nobody seems to be in charge of these people in these bureaucracies.
Yeah, and that's because they're bureaucracies, so I agree with you there. And as much as the easy way out for me would be to tag along on that conversation for another diss at the man, and particularly bureaucracies and bloated government, I have to tell you the PPP was extraordinarily complicated. I still marvel at the notion that that program actually got out the door. There were so many moving parts to that, and the fact that money was actually dispersed to me was still amazing, because I have very little regard for government's ability to act quickly in the crisis, and that was a highly complex mechanism. It was an essential undertaking, but it was extremely complex. We know why we haven't seen subsequent funds. That was strictly a political calculation by Pelosi, but getting that first round of money out after it was agreed upon was just an extraordinarily complicated thing to do, the likes of which, you know, government hasn't done in ages. So the fact that
they do it for big people.
Yeah, but this time they did it for everybody, and that's what they're not used to doing. It's one thing to write a $70 million check somewhere here and there, or a couple hundred million or a billion-dollar subsidy. That's easy to do. That's a stroke of a pen. But to actually get checks out to small businesses across the country was not an easy thing to do.
Well, they enlisted the help of, the program was instituted through banks, and I think the banks did a pretty good job.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
but the thing of it is, it was not, everybody looks at the plan, and I don't know if you and I have talked about this, but you must have had somebody, because everybody knows you're very knowledgeable, and you're on various shows, and you do your own podcast, but the thing was, it was nothing more than we participated, so it's not like I'm criticizing big time, but it was nothing more than a helicopter money play. That for the first time really in my lifetime got down to the lowest levels. Usually, nobody actually got a check for $1,200. I know that was different, but it was part of the same thing. Nobody ran a restaurant ever got a help from the government. I mean,
that's right.
But the interesting part is everybody can tell you 50 people who didn't deserve it, right? And rightfully so.
Of course.
But the interesting part is not very many people get. They don't care. This is helicopter money. They don't care who got it. It was like the $1,200. If some of your family just died, they told you to cash the check, right? They'd say send it back. But on a Social Security check, that's fraud. They just want it out there. They don't care who got it. Hence the definition of helicopter money.
Yep. Yep.
But they, as usual, though, regular citizens, bumps like us, not because we're bumps individually, but collectively, that everybody's bitching about somebody they know getting something they shouldn't have got. The entire amount of the $1,200 checks and the PPP, which is dramatic, there's 27,000, in excess of 27,000 PPP loans in Illinois, just in Illinois, over 150 grand.
Yeah.
That's big dough, Jeff. That's big dough.
Yeah, and, big dough.
In countrywide, it was like, 300,000 or something?
Yeah.
It was massive amounts.
Yes.
And, that's still the total of all that to every man, even middle businesses, was only 20 to 25% of the entire package. So the other 75 to 80, God only knows where that went, Jeff. I mean, when you think of all the money that we saw flying, and that's only 20% of the total, can you and I even imagine the rest of it, where it went? Some of it, I know, is not even spent yet. I mean, some isn't even gone, but still, it's a lot of dough. Because that was, $500 million? And the total package was $3 trillion, right? So it was $2.5 trillion. It was like a fifth of it.
Yep.
So the rest of it all went to Luckbox Magazine?
No, it didn't go to Luckbox. No, we were able to continue operations with no impact either on the revenue side. In fact, if anything, like a number of certain businesses and certain niches, we were able to trim back our expenses, maintain revenue, and actually, come out even more profitable than the previous months. That wasn't a result of any particular leadership, just our little niche and our little scenario. So there are some businesses like that. But, hey, listen, this was a safety net in action, and it was a safety net that was needed. So did people get money who shouldn't have gotten money? Yes. Did businesses receive money that really should not have received funds so they could have gracefully gone out of business? Of course. But the recipients then were employees for the most part. That was the brilliance of the PPP, is that 75% of the money was earmarked to employees, which did essentially what you just said, is get the money back out there in the system. It was a moment that we were all Keynesians, and in a moment like that, it was necessary and it worked. But I think what lies ahead is a bigger mystery in a number of different ways. Although
By the way, whether or not you, quote, needed it or not, was never a part of the system. You either qualified or you didn't.
Well, that's true. That's exactly right. That's my point. There are certainly those who received it that didn't. I know personally, businesses, the proprietors who received, mid-six-figure checks that put them in the bank. They just kept on running their businesses because that just became, money that went right into the business that they didn't need for operations. And in fact, if anything, it allowed them to get more strategic and make investment and grow and do some other things. But it was needed. That was a moment of government actually working. So that's good. Just going full circle, I wouldn't be too critical of the fact that the IRS hasn't caught up with the plan yet. They will.
I have a interesting, because you were not on the day. I sort of gave this rant, and I gave it to a couple of my close friends one night over an adult beverage, but I mean, okay, you guys didn't.
You know, a lot of your stories start that way, by the way.
What?
The adult beverage. There's the
well, you know,
or common element.
Not, every, not yeah. everybody's. I mean, there might be a Diet Coke on the table. I mean, who's to say there isn't? But by the way, the night I was with you, I didn't see a Diet Coke. You know, just saying.
Yeah.
But anyway,
no, I'm a whiskey guy, so
that's okay. It's
be found.
Yep. When you say a firm like yours didn't take the money, all right? Now we really, well, there were people working at home, and the building was going to shut down, so all those kinds of things. We didn't really know what it was going to cost us in terms of stuff, so we got a minimal piece. And I say minimal, I mean minimal. And other people were saying, "I don't know if I really deserve it," type of thing. I you know, there's a when you get to crazy times, Jeff. And this is kind of an economic thing, and I got a couple few minutes here, but I want you to critique me here. When you come to crazy times, and people start doing this kind of stuff, it's almost to the point where I would never have been the first person to say, "Screw these Americans! I'm not paying my taxes here. I'm going to Bermuda, or I'm going to Ireland, or some damn place." I would never, and of course, my mom was one of these, just because another monkey jumps off a bridge, you don't jump off a bridge, do you, type of thing. The answer is no. Yet, somehow or another, our government, and I'm sure maybe other governments, have put us in positions where if the thing becomes so egregious, even though you have a moral, you know, I won't say moral because you're not killing anybody, aversion to it, it almost is to the point where when they're handing out money, if you don't take yours, you put yourself and your people you care about at a competitive disadvantage. To the point where if you and I did own a big enough firm, maybe someday we will, and we're the only people to say, no, it's wrong to go overseas. I'm going to pay my 35% taxes like I should be, which I suspect is a decision you and I would make. All I'm going to say is 10 years later, we're going to find one of the bleeps who did go overseas outbidding us on another business, and maybe they're going to fire all the people there and you and I wouldn't have. I mean, it becomes insidious to the point where it's the government should never force us into a position where we have to make that call. Yet they have now for decades, to where the people who have been straight have finished last, like the Leo DeRocha would say. And it abhors the basic bleep out of me that that's happened. But as I told people about, the rule says that if you're going to keep people employed, you get this money. You can't count on these people to not shut the world down 6 months from now or someplace to where all of a sudden these other guys got the money in the bank and you don't, and you don't, and you go out of business and your people are fired and theirs aren't. You can't take that chance because you don't know what these idiots are going to do 5 months from now. So even though probably people that I know could have gotten by without taking the loan, the fact is the law said you get it. Now whether you put it in the bank and hope you never have to use it, and maybe 2 years from now you pay out bonuses or something, that's kind of the way we took care of it. But the idea that somehow or another they're not going to throw me a curve next June to where I really need this dough and the other people that have it make it and we don't. You can't go down that road, Jeff. I mean, you probably have never thought I would say something like that, but these guys are throwing us curveballs that you got to think differently, I think.
Yeah, well, I thought I was supposed to be the cynic on this show.
Well, you've turned me.
No, well, that's what a free market is. You know, you don't know what the other guy's going to do, so you just operate on your own ethical and moral compass. And you know, in the same way that my father always used to tell me, you know, don't ever count on other people's money, I also don't count on other people's to be moral or ethical. So it's not the last thing I'd be surprised at is if a good deed that I take today doesn't come back to bite me in the ass in the future. But I think
I agree.
Just,
I'm just saying, I know
part
some
of the deal. Yeah.
Some of my buddies from college actually were one of the, I use the term pioneers at moving things overseas for tax purposes. So, you know, I heard about this 30 years ago, where these guys almost had their own, I wouldn't say a patent for it, but on their own procedure, right, where they would take banks and people move them overseas and basically drop all their tax liability. Well, I mean, if anybody doesn't think that the size of these firms, the Googles, the Forest Labs, the drug companies, isn't dramatically higher because they were able to do that. I mean, if you and I would have decided to not do that as a drug company, say we were Squibb or somebody like that, guess what? We'd be part of Bristol-Myers Squibb, and our guys would be fired. Because these other, the difference between paying 35% and 15% over a 20-year period, Jeff, you can't make up for that. You just can't. I mean, as much as I think it's morally reprehensible, God bless. I mean, you and I'd be fired, and rightfully so, if we didn't do it. I mean, it is being really cynical, but, I mean, look at the people that are the winners now. They're all the people that have cheated the most. And now they're spending, if you heard the first part of the show, they're giving $15, $20 million to various Senate races. The people that are CEOs of one of the companies met earlier, one was Facebook, one was something else, one was Google. These people, they're making differences in the world. You and I are doing the best we can, but I think if we had $20 million to piss away, we'd be more effective, don't you?
Well, the money in politics. Oh, speaking of politics, yeah, there's something going on today. But,
yeah, hey,
the money in politics
is,
you know, that's... So consider that vicious circle by playing the system properly that gives you more money to spend on lobbying that further perpetuates your advantage. But yeah, that's the way it works. You know, that's just the way it works.
You got your finger on the pulse. Who's going to win? I've heard one of my conservative guys call me last night to tell me it's going to be a Trump landslide. Kenny Pulcheri said he was just talking to somebody over in Europe. They think it's going to be a Trump landslide. Of course, some people think it's going to be a Biden landslide. You're the guy who manages the wagering on all this, or at least knows about it.
Yeah. No,
what's going to happen,
betting,
bud?
Like betting real money on it, right?
Yeah.
Well, one thing for certain, it's not going to be as a Trump landslide. That's not remotely in the cards.
I would agree with that.
There are very, very, very few scenarios. There's no scenario that lends itself to a Trump landslide. I'm actively engaged in prediction market portfolios right now and advising a couple of others. If you look at what things look like right now, you know, Real Clear Politics is maintaining about a, well, let's see, 538 has it at 8%. That's way too high still. Real Clear Politics has a 6.7% advantage on Biden in terms of popular vote. All the A-rated polls like Marist and Monmouth are all 6% and higher for the most part. I would confidently say that the popular vote margin of victory is going to be lower than that. I think the polls, again, have not fully corrected for the 2016 mistakes that they made. They've made some corrections for that, but they're still underrepresenting Democratic voters by their own admission, and they haven't figured out how to address the kind of social desirability bias that exists. That's what, you know, was formerly referred to as the Bradley effect. Now it's called
Jeff, Trump. Could you we got a few minutes before break, and if you carry over, that's great. What if when you talk about, you've named about 10 different polls, which I didn't even know existed, so you obviously noticed and I don't. If you and I or one of those guys decides they want to take a poll of 2,000 registered voters, how the hell do you even do it right now? How do you start?
Well,
it's not random calling people at home.
That's a whole conversation in itself, because methodology is what leads to error. You can correct the error. If you know, there's five different polling methods for the most part. You know, there's live calling. There's I forget the acronym. Voice response calls. There's email. There's text polling, and there's group survey polling. Those are the five methods that are employed by the polling agencies for the longest part. The gold standard has always been considered to be live calling in polling. So forever, those, so on 538 or Real Clear Politics, where you see a grade associated to a certain poll, a letter grade from, you know, A to D, typically the higher grade is going to be those that register likely voters as opposed to registered voters, and those that are surveying through live calls. However, the social desirability bias, which is today called the shy Trump voter, it's exasperated by live calls, whereas the voter is simply reluctant to say who they're voting for if they're voting for Trump. And it's been a well documented phenomena that it exists. It's kind of like the questions like global warming. Well, we know it's out there. The only thing is, you know, how bad of a problem is it? And that's what's going on in polling right now. They know that there is a shy Trump voter. They don't know how to quantify it because it's very difficult to quantify. But essentially what that does is negate some of the value of live polling, and other polling methods then have kind of tried to correct for that social desirability bias, which...
Well, Jeff, at a basic level, go back 30 years, there was a connection that everybody knew between your phone number and your address, which means
correct.
Your district, your precinct,
yeah.
and everything. So
yeah.
if you call
that's
me
why
at home,
older voters are more subject to the social desirability bias than younger voters.
Well, but just in general, if you call me at home, I may or may not tell you to buzz off or not, but at least you've locked me into the precinct, you know where I'm at, you know, so that if I do say something, and I think people were a little more attuned to getting that call at home, not that you ever really wanted it, but how would you patch me together my address to my cell phone? And I could have grown up in L.A. and still have that number and lived in Chicago for 20 years. How the hell are you ever going to attach me with my L.A. Area code to my where I live now in Chicago? I mean, I guess on a very basic level, how do you even match that up?
Most of the live polling that exists today is going to hard lines. That's another problem that creates for polling, because that means you've shifted your demographic to an older person who still has a landline. There is polling that's occurring. You've seen robocalls on your cell phones, and those same robocall lists are lists that can be acquired by polling groups. So there is polling on cell phones, and what most people know is that if they got you on your cell phone, they've got you. You know, they've seen the social dilemma on Netflix. They know that your cell phone is you, and there are people that want to be private about their politics who don't disclose accurately than in polling situations. So that's just a long way of speaking to why there's still some inherent systemic flaws in polling, but it doesn't negate the fact that they're going back to the core question. Trump is, you know, I'm looking right now at 538. Nate Silver gives him a 10 out of 100 probabilities in simulations, Monte Carlo simulations, 40,000 times. It comes up to only a 10% chance of Trump winning. The Economist has Biden at 93% chance. Real Clear Politics has a 6.7 aggregate polling advantage. What's different is in the betting markets, in the polling markets, where it is narrower, but it's for different reasons. It's because at this point, the probability associated with a Biden victory, which is 64%, is only difference because there's real money at stake there, and you know people are betting on, you know, probability and outcome. But the short answer is this is going to come down to, as everyone knows, it's going to come down to Florida first. It's the first thing that Trump has to notch if he has any chance of being in the game. And I'm firmly betting on Trump in Florida, despite what all the polls suggest. I think that will be a Trump victory. But then essentially he needs Pennsylvania and...
Hey, Jeff, before we go through the states, let's go to break, and then we'll go through the states again, because I got a bunch of questions on those.
You got it.
SP Futures still up 40. Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right
now. Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Al. It's my web on the board with Mr. Jeff Joseph for this talking. Elections, because he's the expert. S&P futures up 39.25. They were up 40 the whole time, but 39.25 is just about 40. Dow 402, NASDAQ futures up 80. Not a mirror image. It is same image as yesterday. DAX up 222. That's 1.9%. FTSE up 118. 2.1%. I haven't seen this sort of a universal rally here with the same number in a long, long time. CAC around up 99. 2.1%. You swing to Asia, guess what? VK up 318. That's 1.4%. Shanghai up 45. 1.4%. Hang Seng up 479. 1.9%. So, we got 6 out of 6 to the upside here today. That don't happen often. Yesterday, This is wild. Dow Jones up 423, kind of where we are now. S&P futures up 40, right where we are now. NASDAQ futures up 46, kind of right where we are now. It's like we're redoing Monday, at least so far. 10-year, 0.88, again, creeping. The Bund, not creeping, still minus 0.62. Japan creeping ever so slowly, positive 0.04. Oil, up a little bit, but still whack. It's up $1.06, but still $37.87. Ran up $1.3998. That whole oil patch is just dead money right now. I keep trying to pick a bottom in there, and so far that has not worked. Natural gas down 11 cents, 312. RBOB up 2 cents, 107. We got gold rallying a little bit. Well, actually quite a bit now. We're up over 1906, up 1360. Silver up 37 cents, 2441. Manny, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. I kind of hope the Giants were going to win that game last night. They looked better than the Bears, just saying.
They could be, although the Bears beat them early in the season. 38 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We're still very quiet on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. Our sources are saying the trains are quiet as well, as, of course, Election Day is now an Illinois state holiday. So all the public workers are off today, and a lot of the private companies have given their employees the day off today as well. And traffic is reflecting that. Absolutely no delays coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower, Stevenson, all quiet. Southside Expressway is looking good. Lakeshore Drive is quiet as well. Only accident in the entire Chicagoland area right now at the moment is out in the western burbs. Route 59 at Joliet Street, there is a crash. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, a beautiful fall day here for Election Day. Sunshine with a high of 65. Right now it's clear and 42 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 92. Right now it's clear and 67. In sports, as Chief mentioned, the New York football Giants gave a valiant effort on Monday Night Football last night, but came up just short to Tampa Bay, losing to the Buccaneers 25-23. Chief.
Is the guy from Dallas the head coach, or is he the offensive coordinator?
Offensive coordinator.
Because all they do is show him. They never...
Yeah, Jason Garrett, he's the offensive coordinator. A lot of people think he'll be a head coach again soon. Seeing how bad Dallas is this year, he may have been done a better job than we thought piecing that group together.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeff, when you see all these people, again, we're not to get into an electoral college sort of thing, when you see everybody on TV talking about the dramatic amount of voters that are voting early and people waiting in line on a Sundays and stuff, I mean, in Illinois, California, and North Dakota, South Dakota, the states that are all one way, what a waste of time, huh? Seemingly.
Well, that's a whole different rant, you know. You know, that is why you vote third party if you want to change the world, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, we are definitely seeing an uptick as of this morning, because that's one of the markets we bet on predicted is what the total vote count is going to be. As of this morning, we're at 97 million votes. 35 million have come in.
What was last time?
Voting by mail, and then the balance has been in-person voting. The market right now is favoring, it's a bet I just placed, is favoring 160 million or more, which is showing right now a 52% chance of achieving that number. And that, for context, 2016 was 136 million. So the market is wagering on 160 million total votes, which would be a, you know, discernible increase over 4 years ago.
Well, is that going to be bigger than the Obama years too?
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
Really?
No, this would be the highest voter participation turnout in decades.
That's wild.
And we're already on track for that right now. But back to your core question, what I'm seeing, and I think is a legitimate thing to expect, is that it's not going to be the blue wave blowout that is expected. Playing with the electoral map elements right now, I see something as a tighter outcome. You know, a Biden win is by far more probable. Not certain, but certainly probable enough to, you know, feel comfortable betting on it. But as opposed to a big sweep, something in the way of 45 electoral votes or less, as opposed to the broader sweeps that have been claimed. Obviously, what's most interested is Senate control and balance of power there.
You mentioned Florida being a Trump state, so you're about to go one by one of the key states before break. So how about continuing down that road?
Well, if you're looking at betting odds, Florida currently is sitting at, we'll see what, in 538 world, in Nate Silver, which is the gold standard right now, Biden has 69% probability of winning. He wins 69 times in 100. Trump wins 31 times in 100, according to Nate Silver. Real Clear Politics right now has Florida at, hold on one second, has Florida with an aggregate, has Biden ahead in Florida too by a closer margin of about 1%. In the betting markets, though, Trump is favored in Florida, and And that's what I'm saying too. Maricopa County, the early results really are contributing to that. It's true that older voters have shifted more towards Biden. However, the Latino voters and younger voters have actually posted more. They've shown more preference for Trump. Young voters, the youngest voters, the 18 and 21 voters, which has been one of the, you know, we'll read about some interesting things after the election. One of them is clearly going to be a discernible shift in black male voter sentiment towards Trump. Trump will definitely have a higher black vote than he had 4 years ago. He'll have a higher Latino vote than he had 4 years ago. His loss will be based on suburban white women, but he will definitely be scoring higher vote totals in those two categories. Florida is tight, and of course it's the first thing to watch is Florida, and it's being watched. There's over 300 attorneys from both sides, so already we have a minimum of 600 election lawyers in that state waiting to litigate anything. Don't buy into the notion that the press is, I did my channel surfing through CNN and MSNBC and Fox last night, and every station has its own lies, but all parties are going after this election, and they've already started. It isn't about one party doing voter suppression. Everybody is playing this game, and it's going to be a legal game. So Florida has started, Pennsylvania is starting as well, and the bottom line is Pennsylvania is going to be the key state here. That will be the one that determines the election outcome. There's really only 8 swing states at this point, and Pennsylvania is the key.
Couple questions. If Trump sneaks in, I use the term sneaks because he's not projected to do that right now. If he sneaks in by like 5 electoral votes, how bad will he get his ass kicked on the popular vote, 5 or 6?
He's going to lose the popular vote somewhere between, well, let me show you what the betting markets are saying on that right now. But, you know, my guess is that it's going to be somewhere around 5 or 6% is most likely. Popular vote margin of victory, the probability, that's being overstated by the prediction markets. They're looking at higher numbers at 7.5 to 9%. I think those numbers are higher than
it seems a little high.
What the actual vote will come in. But that's what the prediction markets, who are likely going to end up being more accurate than the polls, is the prediction markets. And they are predicting a 7.5% to 9% popular vote victory.
How you put this politically correct, Manny's got the dump button, but what you're seeing in some of the younger voters, and I'll just go on a limb on this because of the people I've talked to in the last few years, are maybe assistant producers and so forth that are in college, but the younger people, especially the younger males, have decided that the Democratic Party has become the party of LGP, whatever, women, and it's not for any sort of a regular guy. That no regular guy is going to be in the Democratic Party. It's all about having another bathroom in a place. It's all about all that stuff that these guys want no part of. And you know what?
Who would be a better standard bearer for that sentiment than Donald Trump?
But let's put it this way. There is I feel the same way. It's why I'm in the middle, not about the LGBT stuff. I'm saying I'm not exactly sure who exactly is running and who's in charge of this Democratic Party. I mean, I've been a Democrat my whole life until I moved to the middle not that long ago. And I have no idea who's in charge of that party. I feel almost as bad about them as I do Republicans with Trump I have no idea what's running that place. The idea that these people from California can just decide tomorrow, oh, by the way, people can decide their sex when they're 25, leave the birth certificate blank. In the meantime, everybody owns a McDonald's or a PTI or a or a luck box guy that has to put in a third bathroom, and we don't care if you can afford it or not.
Well, Jeff, you'll know soon enough when Elizabeth Warren is Secretary of the Treasury and Kamala Harris is far more visible than Joe Biden. I think we'll know who's running the show soon enough.
Yeah, I mean, I can almost say that's almost as bad as Trump. It's horrible. None of these people have ever had a job. I mean, I look at to be perfectly blunt, I'm going down the block today, not because I can influence any election, but I'm going to vote positive for Judge Tooman, because Tony Preckwinkle has the nerve to try and run the guy out of a judgeship, because she feels she should be the absolute dictator, and because he had the nerve to disagree with her, she's disparaging his whole career. If some white guy did that to an African-American female, I can't even imagine the pushback. Yeah. And that's our Democratic Party now. Well, it's not mine, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's it on the national basis, too.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine anybody... Can you imagine Rahm doing that to Tony Preckwinkle? And getting away with it?
Yeah.
I mean, if this is where the Democratic Party is going, they're going without me.
Yeah, but I'll take you back to the big picture for just for a bit, because I know we're
running
shy on time. I think if Trump were to eke out a victory, that's one thing. The odds are against it, but it's certainly not impossible. The path clearly is Florida and Pennsylvania. There is really no scenario from all the modeling that does not include Pennsylvania.
Where do you got Wisconsin and Michigan? Wisconsin and Michigan? Are they?
Those are gone. I've modeled those out, and I put those in blue. Wisconsin, and Michigan. There's an argument to be made that Michigan is more competitive. Wisconsin clearly is not. But you've got to put those in the blue column and still see if there's any.
What happened in Wisconsin that got them out of the Trump? I mean, I'm not in the numbers in front of me like you do, but it's really hard for me to imagine Trump winning without winning Wisconsin and Michigan.
Well, he's not going to win Wisconsin, and he
that's what I'm saying. I mean,
without,
I don't know how he sneaks in without those two.
Yeah, he can, but it requires everything else. It requires Arizona, North Carolina, Florida, Georgia, Texas, and Pennsylvania.
I thought Arizona, he was pretty much out there too. Or at least that's the latest thing I read. Or is that
Arizona is the next state that will probably swing. I've actually started to bet Arizona to trend red for a while. And let's see where Arizona is coming in right now. It has started to flip over. Arizona is down to 53% blue in the betting markets.
Wow.
So that is your closest of all the states. That is the closest election in the betting markets.
Why do
Arizona
you think,
at 53%.
What's the reason or reasons you think Wisconsin has flipped?
What's the reason? Madison and Milwaukee are dark blue, and not surprisingly, and a red vote in Wisconsin is a boots on the ground vote, and unless you can really commit to spending a lot of time in the state, and Trump has, but that's it's not a very efficient way to campaign, is to hit those smaller towns outside of Madison and Milwaukee, and that's what you have to do to offset the overwhelming blue vote in those counties. So that's a blue state. That's going to come in solid blue. It looks like Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan are blue. Again, the only assuming that the southern states stay intact, and I know a lot of people have been talking about Georgia and Texas flipping or North Carolina state flipping to blue. That's not going to happen. Arizona is the toss-up state right now in the betting markets, but Pennsylvania, the race is going to come down to that. And to answer a question that so many people are asking, when will we know the president? Pennsylvania has already said that they're going to take 7 days to count the votes after Election Day. So there's your answer. We're not going to, assuming that Trump wins Florida. If he doesn't win Florida tonight, it's over, because Florida is a prerequisite to all this. But I'm saying that it looks like he's beating the odds in Florida, and he's going to beat the pollsters and beat conventional wisdom, and he's going to eke out a Florida win. And if that's the case, it comes down to Pennsylvania, where in all likelihood he loses.
Is Florida going to be done tonight, you think?
Well, what's interesting about Florida is, unlike the other states, they know how to process mail-in voting, and they've done it effectively for years in a number of elections. And what you'll see in Florida is, when the polls close tonight, you're going to see a huge drop of votes in favoring. The early results in Florida are going to show an overwhelming Biden lead, because the early votes have been counted already. They started counting as they come in. That's unique. Some of the states don't even count the votes until Election Day, but Florida has counted. So the drop you see early, the early vote totals in Florida, are going to be a very large Biden lead. And then it's going to be up to the in-person voting, assuming good weather today. If it's not good weather in Florida today, you know, then, you know, we can all go to bed early, probably, because there won't be enough in-person votes to offset the early lead from that
Jeff,
Biden
when you
has.
Say that, two questions. I don't have much time. I got to ask you about the Senate.
Yep.
But everybody talks about it's going to be a contested election. I've had this discussion and argument with virtually every one of my guests, which I don't really want to do. But last time there was a very specific, you know, a continual recount in Florida after what's-her-name already declared a winner and blah, blah. It was just, yeah, was pretty much a goat bleep. And the Supreme Court essentially said, no recount, call it the way you got it, and let's move on, which I think is what happened. And it just happened to, it was a very narrow decision in an election that was very closely contested. And by the way, it pretty much, whether or not if they'd had a recount, would it come out the same way or not? Probably, but the legend has it that the Supreme Court decided the election. Now, this time, when you start going to a smattering of 40 different reasons in 40 different states in 40 different cases in front of the Supreme Court.
So there's your answer. Short answer, yes. It will be a contested election, and don't buy into the political spin of either of the parties. It's not going to be the other party's fault. It's going to be because of all the scenarios around it. Both parties are gearing up for a contested election. They're both planning on it. They're both going to litigate this thing all the way to the end, and it will be contested. It's just that's the way things clearly look right now. And listen, it is a result of mail-in votes. Not that there's anything bad with that. That's what you do when you have a global pandemic and people, you know, you have to have the. So yes, those changes. But when Trump says that those changes are going to change how votes are tabulated and creates larger opportunities for error, that's 100% true. There's nothing that's remotely infactual about that. But that's still something that you had to do to accommodate and give everyone the right to vote. So,
right, but,
so
okay, but
it's
the process,
we're in for a slug. Yeah.
No, but the process is going to be somebody. I'm just saying. In 40 different states, God, I hope it's not 40, that somebody files suit and says the mail-ins won't be Illinois because I don't think anybody would contest
it. Doesn't
this
matter.
Republican,
right.
But say it was. It ends up in some U.S. court. This thing was all screwed up. These guys didn't know what they were doing. You know, by the way, if they'd have cut the voting or the counting off 2 days before, the Republicans would have won. That makes its way to an appeals court. That particular case somehow makes it to the Supreme Court, maybe. And then 35 of those, and all specific different complaints, make it through the system and make it to the Supreme. It's not going to be, here's 35 complaints, you figure out who the president is. I mean, it's not going to be like that. A lot of people are sounding like it's going to be. It's not. I don't think.
It'll be one court case. And remember, it's going to be narrowly applied to these eight swing states, and I would suggest even more, you know, it's going to be Michigan, Pennsylvania, Florida, Arizona, that would be, and maybe North Carolina, that, you know, are the true candidates for you know, litigated votes. So,
well, I mean, if what you just said is true, if the first time through, like you say, Florida's pretty good at this. But no, if it's the first time through in Wisconsin, and all the mail-in ballots are 90% Biden, and Trump wins at the polls, you know there's going to be a problem. Right? They're going to say, right. Who are all these people that got these ballots? Where they all come from? We better check and make sure they're the right people. Well, oh, God, what a mess that would be. Hey, how about what about the Senate?
The Senate right now is really tight. And, you know, we obviously know you need four to flip the Senate control, or three if it's a Biden victory. So three is a number that the market's focused on. The prediction markets are favoring a Senate flip right now, pretty materially, but I think it's going to be tighter than that. Looks like Joni Ernst is going to pull out in Iowa, and that's a really important race for Senate control. The odds were against her earlier, but things have shifted.
Which is she, Democrat or Republican?
She's the Republican that's there. The tightest rates in the prediction markets right now is North Carolina. So that's the that's Tom Tillis versus Cal Cunnilingus Cunningham. You know, he's the guy who, with a little sex scandal out there.
Oh, yeah.
So that's been an interesting race. That's going to be a tight one, but that's definitely favoring Cunningham. And I think that's probably the reason. It's a toss-up. The markets are clearly favoring a Senate flip. So is 538. So is Real Clear Politics. So are the betting markets. I think it's going to be tighter. It's not going to be the five or six seats that are being projected. I think it's going to be more like a three or four Senate flip. And then in the House, the Democrats are really well posed to pick up about 10 seats.
Well, is there any chance that Lindsey Graham gets tossed, or is he back in?
Losing who? Oh, no, he's not going anywhere.
Just goes to show you, if you're in there long enough, they almost can't get you out, no matter what.
Well, considering how much money was spent against him,
yeah.
You know, his Jamie Harrison spent over $100 million to try to unseat Graham, and he even did some really, really, you know, dirty trick things like promoting a candidate that had actually resigned from the race to try to split the vote. So that's been probably the best example of dirty politics is everything going on in North Carolina.
It's not on one side only, that's for sure. Jeff,
thank you very much.
Great insight on the perfect morning for everybody. Might have to have you back for like 5 minutes to see if you were right or wrong between now and the end of the week.
Anytime.
Or if we're still talking on Friday about no results, might have to have you back. Take care, buddy. Let's be
figures
up 37.
We'll see you,
Dial 380. Be right back tomorrow morning. Stacks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.